Show me love, show me love. Hello and welcome to another episode of Just Play Podcasts, featuring myself, Ryan Tricky, and my esteemed colleague and partner in crime, Andy Aitken. How are you doing?
I'm very good, Ryan. How are you, sir?
Not bad at all, not bad at all. So this episode we thought we would kind of put all our attention down to a fairly popular Grand Slam that's caused, you know, many different stories, many upsets, many speculations in some ways, retirements, and that we'll be talking about Wimbledon, won't we? So, Andy, could you do you want to start us off? I mean, obviously, first of all, in a previous episode, we made our predictions in our first roundup, even before the roundup, actually. So how did your predictions go? Do you remember them?
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that. I think we obviously called the final correctly. But let's talk about the men's to start, because obviously that was probably the more recent one. But, you know, it was such an epic weekend. We needed a couple of weeks to digest it. Hence, this podcast is coming a little bit late. That'll be the first reasoning for this, won't it, Ryan?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing to do with the fact that Ryan's been on holiday and I've been busy. So, yes. I think obviously, I think Sinner was always going to win. I think he had the bit between his teeth. I think just like any tennis match, was the better player, so deserved to win. The ladies, I'm pretty sure I was a Sabalenka and Madison Keys as my outsider. I think I had Ben Shelton as my outsider on that one, which actually did pretty well. Did pretty well there. But yeah, I think I was a Maddie Keys and Sabalenka, which unfortunately didn't go so well, but a semi-final for Sabalenka was pretty good. So how about your predictions?
I think I predicted Sinner to win. I mean, we always knew it was going to be Alcaraz, I think. But then, you know, obviously we've got discussion points in this, I'm sure, because obviously there were certain points during the second week, I think, that where it got a bit shaky at times for certain players. But no, I had Sinner, so I got him, which was good. And I think, I can't remember my outsider. Did I say an outsider? Jack Draper.
I think so, yeah. I think you're right, British. Yeah.
And did he have Carlos Alcaraz?
He unfortunately lost second round to Marin Cilic. So
that's it, sorry, yeah. So Marin Cilic, that's it. So he, obviously Marin Cilic is very, very established on the court, suits his game. But, and I think my women's one was Emma Raducanu was my, I suppose, not outsider, but like, you know, and I think she's got it in her. And I think Sabalenka was the other. So I think we're all a bit shocked about you know, Amrasova, I think, Amrasova.
Now on the pod, it's hard to say when you're on the pressure.
Yeah. And, you know, fair play. She played her guts out, didn't she? Really, and really kind of gave it her all, put the game in, put it to bed. And then we get to the final, women's final. It was a bit of a, I think everybody's thinking, right, it should be a Swiatek, Sabalenka final. And then we'd have had like tussles and tantrums and all sorts, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, let's move on and kind of say like the second week. Obviously, I don't know about you, but I love the second week. I think the first Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they are the times to kind of go and watch Wimbledon, because you kind of got you've got all the kind of they're all class, but you kind of got all the seeded players kind of starting to make those matches. And then leading into the second week, and I think, you know, there's still upsets for me.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think they used to sort of call it, was it Manic Monday, when they used to have the Sunday off in the middle part, and sort of like that was always like fourth round, heading into the quarters. And yeah, by that point, you like to see the sort of the big names playing each other. You know, you get into your quarterfinals and your semis, and to be fair, semis on both sides were actually pretty decent in terms of names. But like you say, like Iga was just so dominant. She beat Bencic in the semis, love and two. Anisimova, unfortunately, love and love, which I know we're sort of glossing over. And it's one of those from a sporting perspective, it can happen, you know. It can be a rollover. I mean, you could have football where two, three people get sent off and it's 6-7 nil potentially. And, you know, this is the beauty of sport. It's so unpredictable. But yeah, a bit like yourself, I think it was a great spectacle as always. Very fortunate with the weather, I think they were, as always. They seem to have, since they've got center and number one fully established, there doesn't seem to have been like a deluge of rain consistently. I know they've obviously had rain and they've used it probably over the last fortnight really for playing later in the evening, as opposed to the weather. I think they had a couple of occasions they had to close it, but long gone are the days where they've had like 2 days full of rain and had to cancel play and all the rest of it. So, and then probably the other notable winners we probably need to mention would be the men's doubles. Lloyd Glasspool and Julian Cash got it done. I don't know whether you saw it, but I think what's been spoken about a little bit is Lloyd's celebration. He was very monotone and very sort of like flat in his
Flat with
expression,
it.
whereas Julian Cash is just absolutely going nuts. And apparently, having listened to an interview, it is because Lloyd used to be partners of ha is it Harry Helivaara, the Finnish guy, I think. Apparently, he's very expressive, very extrovert, and yeah, Lloyd, when partnered with him, was decided to go a bit more introvert, and thus the, I guess, less reaction to winning a men's doubles title at Wimbledon, which is a great achievement, as I'm sure you agree.
Absolutely. I think, credit to them. I think they did super well. And obviously, we've got to talk also not only about that final, we've got to talk about the wheelchair tennis final as well. We've got, we're witnessing history, aren't we, really? I mean, what a pairing. I don't know about you, but I always think, like, if I, when you're watching, like, wheelchair tennis versus, I know, men's and, like, I don't know the term, I'm not going to use it, but obviously men's and single, like, ladies' singles or doubles, whichever, when you go then back to, wheelchair tennis, I think I almost like watching the wheelchair tennis. It's such a, like, an enduring thing, such a, it must be so hard to kind of get around the court on a wheelchair and obviously be able to hit the shots they hit, keep it going, keep your mental side, get like intact, your emotional control together. Do you know what I mean? It's
Outstanding.
such a
Yeah, it really
spectacle, isn't
is.
it?
It's amazing to witness, and like you say, it can't even really mentally fathom how you move in a wheelchair, you set up, you hit, you continue the flow of the wheels, you get ready for the next shot. It's you take it for granted, don't you, really,
Yeah, I
being
mean,
yeah.
it's been. I mean, I think. So I'm not going to say I don't watch Wimbledon as much. I always tend to watch and kind of get the highlights in. But I kind of tuned in early on, thinking I probably might. Obviously we're working, we're doing lots of things, so time's a bit limited, and we'll kind of try and catch highlights. But I did find myself over the last 2 weeks, or so the 2 weeks of Wimbledon, really kind of a bit captivated by some of it. Do you know what I mean? More than normal. I don't know if you found the same, but I think, the women's game, for example, is so open. We look at the seeds that are in those top seeds. Okay, Sabalenka, Swiatek, you might argue, are a little bit above the rest, a bit like Carlos Alcaraz, Sinner. But really, in the women's game, I think anybody could really take it, couldn't they? They're so
Any given
open.
day. Yeah.
Emma could have, rolled over and won that next match, and then all of a sudden we're looking at the next, and future couple of years, there's nothing stopping her really. With now she's hopefully a bit more stable in the, with her coach, and they've got the relationship going. You can't, you've got to look at her as maybe having a chance, I would say.
I guess it just goes on to Emma's achievements very quickly, just digressing. It just shows that when she won the US Open from qualies, how much of an achievement that really was. That'd be likening sort of, Ollie Tarbert, who made it through to second round of play, Alcaraz. Imagine if he'd won Wimbledon or wins a Grand Slam. You'd be like, who is this guy? And I guess Emma was probably a little bit like that to the rest of the world. We obviously knew who she was being British, but even then, like probably the rest of the UK, she became a household name and, has all these sponsorship deals, etc., off the back of it. So yeah, I guess, yeah, like you going on to the point you were sort of raising, like anybody can win it. You just need to have a great run, have a great belief, something maybe changes within your lifestyle, possibly, maybe something positive happens. Because a lot of probably what's happening on court, we're attributing to like the ladies' semis and final. We don't know whether Bencic and Anisimova, like we discussed in the previous pod, may have had injuries, or there might be something happening behind the scenes, or before Anisimova's coming out, she's physically unwell because she's so nervous or something like that. We just don't know whether any of that is actually happening. All we're looking at is the black and white of the result. And yeah, but credit to anybody who can go out on a professional stage, whether it be tennis or any sporting stage, and yeah, and get a result and get performances, essentially. So,
I mean, you kind of see like, the amount of, I mean, it does show that experience pays off, doesn't it? Because then if you're in that environment where you're kind of in a crowd, in a, late part of a tournament, Grand Slam, and being able to hold those like emotional controls and that thing together so that you can get yourself by. Whereas, like you say, it's like, I'm so it was first final, unexpected. I mean, great for her that she's got some nice prize money behind her that she can really, push her game on, hopefully, with that money and kind of get the right team together and, obviously really reflect on that 2 weeks and hopefully come back firing again. She made a really nice, and again, the other thing that I found over the 2 weeks, again, all the like interviews and things like that, were really, they were really kind of like positive, but also they were kind of sportsmanlike, weren't they? One that speaks out to me is when, obviously we all don't like it, but obviously Dimitrov tearing his pectoral muscle in that serve and then having to go down after being two sets to love up. And then, obviously ask our listeners, what would you do in that scenario? I think what he did there was probably, the best role model like response you'd do, wouldn't you? I mean, Dimitrov is such a good player, and he's best suited to grass, isn't he? But then for Sin, like him to get that injury and then Sinner to kind of go over, as they're all kind of like doing, aren't they? They're all so careful and caring for each other, but to go over there, and I think the biggest touch was that he kind of just decided, right, no, I don't know, I don't think I should have the interview because I didn't win, I was losing. So it's kind of, I think the humility in the game is, it was really good, wasn't it?
Very good.
And yeah, I think he was a testament to that for sure, over that, as a highlight over the over that fortnight. I mean, what a couple of weeks. What a
What a
couple, I
couple of
mean,
weeks. Yeah,
tennis
it's
was
really good.
it was epic, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And probably just to round it up very quickly, only other notable note probably would be Joe Salisbury in the mixed, made it to the final. Unfortunately, didn't quite get it over the line. But again, seems that, yeah, British tennis is pretty good hands at the moment in terms of, yeah, different events. And obviously, Wimbledon always highlights that. And I think we are specialists on grass, so we always get a good run. We get good coverage of British players. So that always, I think, makes us look good. But last question very quickly before signing off on this one, Ryan. We're going bold. 2026. Give me your men's and ladies winners. 12 months' time. Throw it out there.
Oh, mate.
Are you going to go mainstream, or are you going to be like somebody who's like 120 in the world is just going to make a run over the next 12 months and
Is this for Wimbledon?
lose?
Are we going to go for Wimbledon? I think,
Yep.
I think Zabalenka is going to have. I'm going to go probably mainstream because I think I just don't think I can see people really catching up. I think Emma's going to get closer. I actually do think she's going to get closer, but I don't think she's got enough at the moment to get over the line. So I think, and I think it's Iga Swiatek and Zabalenka, and I think Zabalenka's got a point to prove. But I think if she can control her mental side of her game, she's got it all in the bag, really. So I'm going to say Zabalenka for the ladies. I'm then going to say for the men's. Although I said Sinner this time. It's tough, isn't it? It's like the Feds Nadal kind of thing, isn't it? I think there's going to be another epic. But I'm going to say Carlos next year, actually. But I'm also going to say that Jack Draper is going to be a semi-finalist.
All right.
He's going to, I think, there you go, Raducanu and Draper semi-finalists next year.
Wow. Okay. That's bold
How
claims
about
for me.
yourself?
I'm going to go Coco Gauff, winner next year. I think she'll have a point to prove. First round this year, pretty flat off of, well, you say flat, crikey. Probably French Open didn't do her necessarily any favors, crikey. I mean, like, you got to toss up between, losing in the French Open final and doing better in Wimbledon, or win the French Open final and going out first round of Wimbledon. You're probably taking the win, let's be honest, in the French Open final. So, kudos to her. She won a Grand Slam again. Obviously, great. Men's. It's so hard to look past the main two, isn't it? Gosh.
I mean,
Tell us that something.
Carlos has got such a, I mean, they say he's like the makeup of all four top, all the top four, basically, isn't he? But I feel he's more towards like the Nadal territory, isn't he? In terms of his like forehand and his getting around the court. But Sinner, I think, he suits grass court. Do you know what? If you put an outsider, how good would it be to see Dimitrov come back and just go one last time and smash it?
It'd be nice. I can't see past in a I still have an inkling, rightly or wrongly, I think Ben Shelton will be in the mix next year. He'll be semis or final. Just because I think his serve is such a weapon, and he loves a serve volley, and considering who he came up with against and lost, unfortunately, just and that's my predictions. So
I think
2026, here we come.
exactly, yeah, and then we're going to be rolling on to the US Open fairly soon. Next coming few months, and obviously we'll be reporting on that, no doubt. But in terms of Wimbledon, I think it's got to be up there with some of the good, like the greatest, in terms of like depth in some ways. You know what I mean? Or excitement, maybe. Of having the kind of ups and downs, anybody can win, that kind of thing, rather than kind of seeing you kind of regular two kind of getting in there. It's great to see for the sport. I think it's a spectacle to see that there is, more people that have a chance of getting into different later rounds. And it's not all just commanded by your number one and number two, for example. I think that's been perfect for our sport. And I think a lot of people kind of, can now look at it and think, oh, actually, okay, you. Even if they're at their own local club and kind of go, wait a minute, I could potentially win my club championships if I want against the first seed. It gives people a bit of a belief that, if they can do it, then we can do it, sort of thing. So if you're in your club championships this summer, guys, don't give up, play for every point, enjoy it, and absolutely, should be good.
Sounds good.
Right, well, anyway, so yeah, I think that puts us to the end of our roundup for Wimbledon, and we will hopefully see you in the next one. So please, obviously, if you like to, I think we can comment, but please listen in, tell everybody else about us. Hopefully we're giving you content that you kind of enjoy, and hopefully we can supply with you with great content to come. So until next time. Great to speak, Andy.
Pleasure. Pleasure's all mine.
And we'll speak to you all soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.